Book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. A worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which was called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod, that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But, into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. He offered for himself and for the errors of the people the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Until the time of Reformation. Let's all pray. God of Jacob, the Lord who formed us, the Lord who made us, the Lord who created us, and the Lord who is reforming all of us right now, Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. There is a need for reformation. There is a need for repair. There is a need for restoration. There is a need for revival. There is a need for redemption. There is a need for, oh Lord, rebuilding. Lord, we bless your holy name. And Lord, you are the Redeemer. You are the Savior. And you are the builder of the mansion where we will dwell in. And Lord, we invite you, Lord. Come, oh Lord, into our hearts. Come, O Lord, into our hearts. Enter our hearts, O Lord. And enter into our hearts, O Lord. We are not holy, Lord, but the moment you step in, we embrace the beauty of thy holiness, Lord. The moment you touch us, O Lord, we receive the touch of the power of the Holy Ghost anointing. And Lord, we invite you, Lord, come into our house, O Lord. We open our hearts wide. We open our mouth wide. Enter, O Lord. Fill in, O Lord. Because, O Lord, once you enter our house, everything is repaired by itself. Everything is restored by itself. Everything is rebuilt by itself because you are the Creator, the repairer of the breaches, the restorer of the parts, the redeemer of the seeds. Lord, we pray. We surrender all of us at thy feet. Fill us, Lord, today. Rebuild us, Lord. Bind up us, O Lord. Build us, Lord. Raise us, Lord. And Lord, we pray, repair the tabernacle for the glory of thy name alone. Repair the tabernacle, restore the sheep, rebuild the temple, redeem, O Lord, thy children of Father in heaven, and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, for there is no enemy. For there is no enemy can enter once the Lord rebuilt the walls, O Lord. For there is no breach in the wall, because the door was shut by the Lord Almighty. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We desire and we seek and we humbly ask for thy spirit to be upon all of us tonight. Today, wherever we are joining from throughout the world, O Lord. Lord, we pray. All we need, O Lord, is to seek the heavenly kingdom. And your spirit is our kingdom, Lord. Your spirit is our heavenly riches, O Lord. And what else we can ask other than thy spirit? We ask for thy spirit and we ask for thy spirit alone. The goodness is within. The mercy is within. The joy is within. The peace is within. The fruit of the Holy Ghost is within the Spirit of God. And Lord, we ask for that Spirit. We do not want anything else other than thy Spirit, other than thy anointing. Everything else, O Lord, it is vanity. We are called to serve the Lord who is in eternity. We are not called to serve the mammon and the world who is going to be destroyed in vanity, O Lord. We ask for thy presence. May you bless us and guide us and fill us. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. We thank the Lord for keeping us alive last 7 days. It's not a small thing. Amen. Every second I heard more than 6 people die. So the Lord kept us alive, which means He wants us to complete something for Him. Amen. A small word of encouragement, a small hug of love, a small fellowship of comfort, our life is complete. As long as we pass the light to someone, as long as we preach the gospel to someone, as long as the Lord redeems someone through our life is complete. But we don't want to enter into His gates with zero scar on our body. Amen. If Joshua went into the battle, he will get injured, he will get scars, because the Lord would show His wounds to His disciples. See, I was crucified and this is the wound, you know, this is the hole that they gave me when I was crucified for you. He will show the scars, not to boast, but to remind us what He went through for us. The same way, we are called to embrace the fellowship of His sufferings. But when we do so, our tabernacle will get hit, scratches outside, but intact inside. But yet the Lord would say, I can repair the tabernacle. I can restore the house. I can redeem. I can rebuild. I can revive. I can restore. He is called the Redeemer. Amen. We are called to love each other in deed and in truth. And He is called the Redeemer, Restorer, Repairer. He called all of us, I give you my joy, but over time we drop it, or we forget His goodness, or the light becomes dimmer and dimmer to the point whereby it looks like a dying flame. And the Lord says, rejoice, no? Revive, rekindle, reignite, restore, reinforce, which means repeat. It was done, but not enough, refine. Not enough, reinforce. Amen? If you look at those goldsmiths or people who work with metals, they cannot make it straight with one hit. They have to hit over and over again until the sword becomes straight. But that process needs to receive multiple hits, quite heavy ones, you know, from hammer, quite heavy. But it won't break the sword. It will only straighten the sword. The Lord is hitting us. The Lord also wants to straighten us. You can call it as pruning the branches. You can call it as chastening. You can call it as teaching, throwing us into valley. But His ultimate goal is, I have a name, double-edged sword. I have a name, the Word of God. If you are the part of my Word, you should look like me. You should look like me. If I am a sword, you cannot come with a crooked weapon. Because the beauty of double-edged sword is, it will go in, go out, and you won't see any trace. No? Because it's very quick. But if we are a crooked weapon, we can go in, cause maximum damage, come out, bring all the flesh outside, and you know, it will be a devouring, violent kill. But the double-edged sword is quickening. It's quickening. Like David went out of the Jerusalem, and he came in like a sword. He went out, destroyed the enemies. He came in, brought the victory. The Word of God went into our heart, killed the enemies, lack of understanding, flesh, confusion, doubts, and the sword came out, and our heart became lighter. Lord, thank you, Lord. I feel lighter now. Woo! I'm your creation. Now I accept. I'm a sinner. Can I get your name? Can I receive your name? That's all I need. Sword is the word of God. And the Lord says, do not tilt it. It will create damage. It will destroy you. And do not add one more sword. It's not mine because there is only one Savior. The way of the Lord is very simple, very straight, and plain, as simple as it could be. But yet, the Lord called it as revelation. Amen? Revelation. Until the master take the sword from his sheath, the Spirit covers the revelation and the Spirit reveals the revelation, and we say, Lord, now I understand who is Jesus to me and why the scripture says I am created in him, by him, for him, through him. Amen? Through him. So, today, by God's grace, we will meditate on the tabernacle of your heart, the tabernacle of your life where the Lord dwells in, the tabernacle of your house where you and your loved ones are living together to survive in this earth, to work and to make money, to put the food on the table. That is the busyness of our flesh. But yet the Lord allowed us to be an earthly family, like how he has a heavenly kingdom. And we are part of the most important aspect of our life, family of God. Brethren united by the blood of their earthly father cannot stand anywhere near to brethren who are united by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because there is rivalry, there is comparison, there is jealousy, there is hurt, there is disappointment. Everything is there in the rivalry. Because, hey, we both came from the same womb. I am better than you. No. I am better than you. No, I'll be stronger than you. I'll be richer than you. The social status devour the family relationship. No one can deny. All of us, we have seen in our families one way or other. Why? Comparison, jealousy, anger, hurt, offense. Because we think we all came from the same womb. How can he or she can be better than me? I will also strive. I will try my best to outsmart him. This battle will make us to die of weariness. Because we are fighting a battle which we are not supposed to be in. The Bible says, take the mirror of the word, look at yourself, be the better version of yourself. Not yourself, the seed of God that is in you. The Lord wants you to see your very own self, you know, in that mirror. Have you experienced there are some times in your life you felt very good about yourself. You couldn't even believe that you could do this good. You could forgive. You could be, you know, content. You could be steadfast. But that moment of, you know, experience, the flesh will always try to overcome so that we remain the old man who we were. So the Lord says there is a battle of tabernacles inside. The tabernacle of God, which needs the complete ownership of the landlord, because he won't stay for tenancy agreement, okay? The Lord needs to buy the tabernacle. He will not stay as a tenant. And the tabernacle of men, the tabernacle of flesh, the tabernacle of world, that also looks like the tabernacle of God, but no life. So there is a battle of two kingdoms. And Son of David can go out to destroy that, to give you victory for you to claim the land for his name. But the Lord says, do you know how to repair thy tabernacle? So today the sermon title is, repair ye not the tabernacle? It's a question asked by the king to the high priest in 2 Kings. So this is where we ask the Lord to teach us through this theme of today's sermon. Repair ye not the tabernacle? It's a question. The king tells the high priest, it is your responsibility the tabernacle remains intact. Why it is damaged? Don't you repair? He's asking a question. In a context, we will go there. But let's remember what we learned so far. Moses built the tabernacle and Aaron was appointed as the high priest. It was Aaron who went in and who went out. Because for Moses, he has a different job. He needs to go from down to top. He is called to climb the mountain. Aaron is called to enter into the holiest. But for Moses, he also had his own holiest. which is on the top of the mountain, the tip of the mountain, the cloud of Shekinah glory of the Lord covered the mountain for 6 days. Imagine, 6 days, the cloud covered. Let's say we leave the church. The moment you leave, until the next Sunday, 10 a.m., your whole life is covered by cloud. No, you look back, wherever you see, as if, you know, you are in the midst of fog or mist. You can't see anything other than the cloud itself. It's also blindness, right? You can't see anything because you are in the cloud. Wherever you turn, you don't know whether it is east or north or south or west, but only the feeling, I am in the womb. A child in the womb, no matter how much turn it make, is in the womb of the mother. When the cloud covered the top of the tabernacle, where Moses was there as God's tabernacle, because that earthly tabernacle which was built by Moses and Aaron, the book of Hebrews says, God cannot dwell in the tabernacles made by the hands of men. What our hands? It's hands of sin. Hands of flesh. How can I say the Lord, I made this tabernacle you dwell in? Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. How big you will build for me to sit? The train of his robes covers the temple. Amen? That is how the Lord is explaining us about his majesty. So, Spirit of God was resting upon Moses. He was on the top of the mountain. 6 days the cloud covered. On the seventh day, there was a voice. Moses was called out. There was a voice. At the same time, Aaron was interceding, offering sacrifices, using the tabernacle for the benefit of children of Israel. The tabernacle was there as a life insurance. That's it. As simple as that. It's nothing but the life insurance God gave the high priest. 40 years, follow the insurance. Every year, pay the premium. What is the premium? Enter into my holiest once a year. Aaron, premium paid? Yes, Lord. You didn't die? No, Lord. I followed all your commands. My golden jewels make the beautiful music. You see, I'm alive. So I didn't die. Okay? Because my high priest didn't die, because my high priest entered the holiest once a year and came out, he died not. Children of Israel, I'm giving you one more year. Correct? I'm giving you one more year in my favor. Hezekiah made a mistake. The Bible says the Lord added 15 years to him. What does it mean? The Lord added 15 years to the kingdom, to the people. Because he sees through king, he sees through high priest. Correct? The number of years in the Bible, if you simply read the scripture, you may just look like a coincidence. Coincidence. There is no coincidence in the scripture. God is not a random mathematician. He is almighty. If he decide a number to be recorded, he would have a reason throughout eternity. Why he allowed the number to be written. So, last Sunday, I wanted to end the sermon by showing the 7 days so that we can use the next 7 days, those who are willing, those who have the desire, to go and study what is the day of the Lord and what is the acceptable year of the Lord. Two things. The day of the Lord, acceptable year of the Lord. And we all know the day of the Lord is verily very much focused on the book of Revelation, where the Lord will come and claim what he will do. But the acceptable year of the Lord has another name, the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. So, every year, the Lord had to decide, do I let these people to cross the next year? Or should I just, you know, wipe off them? How many days the Lord took to destroy the whole earth with flood? No? The Lord needs just a few months. He could kill all of us by water. Or few seconds, he could destroy all of us by fire. But the Lord said, no, the high priest entered into the tabernacle, into the holiest, once a year. What he does, bear the iniquity of the holy things and bear the judgment of people on the chest with 12 stones that represents 12 tribes. So the Lord is remembered of his goodness and mercy, his promises, his prophecy. He remembers everything and he says, okay, I'll wait. I'm gracious. Of course, I'm righteous. No, vengeance belongs to me, judgment belongs to me, but also I'm gracious. I can't do anything outside my agape love. My priests are reminding me of that. Amen? Every church, every true ministry of God planted in every corner of the earth, what they are doing? They are reminding the Lord, Lord, you are gracious. You are full of love. Lord, give some time, O Lord. This man, this woman, they will know you. We will stand in the gap for them. We will pray for them. We will preach gospel to them. Just give us time, Lord. We will intercede. We will pray for them. Lord, don't destroy us. You know, the Lord is not deciding based on what you say. Who is in you? How can you have that fruit of spirit to be able to speak to Him with the words of life? It is Him who is in you. If we understand, I don't know what to pray, but the Spirit of God teach me how to pray, that is what Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. Jesus Himself prayed to God. Amen? Jesus Himself prayed to God, but He is the complete manifestation of God's Word. But in the beginning, the Word was God, not the God was Word. Amen? Amen. So the Lord shows Garden of Gethsemane, remember Genesis 1:1. So, that tabernacle, Jesus surrendered the tabernacle. Amen? He surrendered, submitted His life, whatever is good for the perfect will of God in His life. And He is the complete manifestation of God's Word. The Spirit of God, the fullness dwells in Him, but He had to die. He had to go down to ascend and to claim that name, glorious Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Father is Spirit. He has no right hand, left hand. Right hand of the Father. Amen. So that tabernacle, Jesus was broken by betrayal. Jesus was, you know, persecuted. They called Him, you are blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. They told Him so many things. But Mark chapter 10 verse 64-65 says, when the chief priests were so angry, you know, gnashing their teeth and rent their clothes, and they called Jesus, you are blaspheming against God. And the Bible says, Jesus held peace. Imagine, this side Aaron is standing, and Datham, Abiram, the two sons of Aaron are burnt. So God called Moses, Moses, my servant, just go and tell your brother, I just burnt his two sons. Just tell him, Aaron, you will hold thy peace. And Moses went and tell Aaron, my brother, hold your peace, your sons are gone. And the Bible says Aaron held his peace. He didn't ask why, he didn't ask how. He didn't scream. He did not rend his clothes. Amen. Leviticus 21, last Sunday we read. God gave a very specific command to the priest. You should not rend your clothes. Why? You can rend before you are clothed. But you cannot rend after you are clothed. Amen? So Aaron, if Aaron rend his clothes, because he's the high priest. Imagine what could happen. When the Lord took his two sons away, he still had two more. You see, the Lord shut one door, but one more door is open. You can feel the air. Aaron, I'm not destroying you more than what you could bear. You still have the two sons who can stand for me in spirit. I took the two sons who died for you and for all the children in flesh. What if Aaron had only two sons? And the Lord taught a lesson. The two sons came back to senses. Just because there are four, now there are two, we think two died. But spiritually put together, we know what's happening. Right, left. So, Prophet Eli could not do what Aaron did. Remember, we discussed about this. Aaron held his peace when the two sons were killed. But Prophet Eli could not hold his peace. He fell back, neck was broken, and he died. But Aaron, he did not rend his clothes. He did not fall. He continued the service to God. So, rending clothes, we saw a few examples last Sunday. What is good, what is not good. And we could see the tabernacle was maintained by high priest, but he is also a tabernacle of the Lord. Amen? The only difference is they didn't get the comforter because Calvary is not there. They have to wait. But Aaron, being the child of God, servant of God, priest of God, the Spirit is resting upon him. The word was spoken. Aaron was able to eat and digest the word. I am at peace. No reason, no answer. No questions asked. Aaron held peace. So Jesus held peace. What is the difference? So in this side, high priest saw two sons burnt, held peace. On this side, the chief high priest, standing in front of small little chief priest, who are so much about the title, power and pride, and they are so angry, telling Jesus, you are a liar, they are going to kill you. Imagine the same way high priest Aaron was was informed. The two sons were burnt. Jesus Christ, looking at his children, looking at his creation, you know, they are actually making so much noise, but yet he held peace. Do not think about what the Lord would have thought as someone who was arrested. Nobody can arrest him. He needs to let go. But imagine, the Bible says everything was created in him, for him, by him, through him. So he is looking at them and they are actually cursing him, spitting on him, hitting him, stripping him, smoting him, insulting him, and he held his peace. How come? Because of Garden of Gethsemane. Because of Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus who overthrew the table, Jesus who wept when he saw Lazarus die, sisters came to him. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus showed his anger. But in Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what about to happen now. I can't use my power or anger or authority, but I'm going to let go everything, completely submitted to the perfect will of God. He maintained silence when he was not supposed to speak. Tabernacle was completely repaired, completely restored from all the wounds, all the pain. Why? Because he was crying out. All the blood was going out. He did whatever he could to let go. And he did not do it alone. He kept three with him. You know, our flesh will tell us, the Lord is with you, the Lord is in you, you pray, he will answer. It's a lie. God teach us. Garden of Eden, God said it is not good for man to be alone. Who was that? First Adam. Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says it is not good for the last Adam to be alone. Hey, Peter, James, John, come, let's go together. If there is no fellowship, there is no Garden of Eden. If there is no fellowship, there is no Garden of Gethsemane. If there is no these two gardens, there is no Calvary. If there is no Calvary, all of us are smoking, drinking, cursing, doing all the evil things, you know, around the world, having, you know, all the evil things. That's it. This place might have been rented by some other business owners, not the businessman upstairs. So, tabernacle is our focus today. So now let's bring Elijah. Elijah is a tabernacle. Amen? Because the Lord says, I will bring Elijah in thy room. Which room? After the baptism, John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the Spirit says, my fullness, my goodness dwells in him. Which room? Don't you see your whole body is a room? One house, one room for one man to stay. Jesus Christ, who gave us the comforter to be able to have such a relationship with God to dwell in. So, Elijah was a tabernacle. Jezebel was scratching him all the back. I'm going to kill you, Elijah. I'm going to torture you. You killed all my prophets. I'm going to kill you. But I was meditating. Why Elijah ran and decided to hide in the cave? Because of two reasons. 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 4. Please turn your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 4. Because everything has an origin. Amen. Everything has a root cause. The same way Lord has not purposed anything without a cause, man and woman, God's creation, would never do anything without a cause. We can fool ourselves, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows why exactly we did that. Now, 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 4 says, the root cause of why Elijah decided to do this way. But before that, first he was threatened. I want to focus on verse 3 first. Verse 3. When Elijah heard that there are people preparing to kill him, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. So fellowship is gone, correct? Did Jesus leave Peter, James, John somewhere when he entered the Garden of Gethsemane? He kept them, is it? And you will keep on speaking to them. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He went and prayed. Hey, three friends, watch me, watch and pray for me. He went and prayed. He was keep on communicating with them, not once. Correct? But Elijah decided, I'm going to save my servant. I know I'm going to get killed, but I don't want you to die. You go and save your life. I will go and die for everything for the Lord. David was trying the same thing to Ittai. Ittai said, I'm not leaving you. I'll follow you wherever you go. Let's stay together. Cheers. Ittai didn't leave him. But Elijah gave a command to the servant, you stay, I'm going. Correct? Step one, Elijah was isolated. Correct? Isolation, number one, before slaughter. What is the next step? But he himself went a day's journey, not by the power of the Lord's manna, not by the meat and drink gave by the angel of the Lord. He himself, correct? He himself, which means whatever the strength that he had, he brought everything together, and at the most he could do to the world, he went to the wilderness in one day's journey. Today is the day. You may last one day with your flesh. That's it. Tomorrow, the Lord needs to decide, am I going to let this soul to see another day? Because Jesus said that, right? Are you going to see another day? The Lord decides. But Elijah went himself, not by the leading of the Spirit, not by the guidance of the God, guidance of God's Spirit, no, but he went himself. He decided and went himself. On one day journey, he reached wilderness. See how beautiful it is? If Elijah tells Moses, hello Moses, how are you? I'm good. How many years you took from wilderness to promised land? Moses said, 40 years. Come on. One day, man. Just one day, I ran into the wilderness. Simple. I know that runs straight. So, here, Elijah represents what happened to him when he was isolated. All done in one day. Correct? Remember the day, because we are going there. The next step is what he said. After he came into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself. So, he went himself, point number two, and he requested for himself, point number three. What is point number one? He left his servant there. Because there was no one to counsel, no one to fellowship, no one to discuss, no one to validate, no one to examine. It has to be two or more, right? That's what God said. Well, now he's alone. Left the servant, went himself, requested for himself. What he did is so beautiful. He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Who I am is what the Lord said. I am not better than ABC goes on infinity. That's what God's children say. I am the great I am, the Lord said. I am the who I am, the Lord said. And Elijah says, I am not better than my fathers. Tell me, when God told Elijah, I'm calling you to my service, you have to show me that you can top all the previous servants, Abraham, Noah, all these guys are not good. I want you to show me that you are better than them. It is not a private limited company. Elijah was not a stakeholder. God is running a business for his children, and all his servants, they do the same business for his children, for him. The moment Elijah thought, I am not better, his cave was already there. Spiritually, he fell into a cave already. It's just a matter of time, he went and found his own cave later on. I am not better than my fathers. God never called Elijah to live a life to be better than someone. We have only one calling. Remember, not even better or lesser. Conform to the image of God. That's it. Let's stop it there. Do not say we quote a man or his father or his grandfather or a prophet or his father or his grandfather or a church or a ministry. The Lord would say, when did I tell you? There is only one faith we are called to be conformed. Jesus Christ, and his face is very beautiful. You can see from the scripture. So, the moment Elijah thought, I can leave my servant alone, starts the fall. One, he went himself. Two, he requested himself. Three, and he compared himself. Four, case closed. Whatever happened later on, nothing but God's mercy. Now look at the verse 8. Look at the verse 8. Now the angel fed him. Now Elijah is not going to run based on his own strength. Now the angel fed him. Angel gave him and he arose. Now he arose again, correct? Verse 4, he arose. Verse 8, he arose. Now, this is a different arose. Verse 8, 4, he arose by himself. Verse 8, he ate something the Lord gave him. In that strength, he arose. Elijah, who ran to the wilderness in one day, now he ran for 40 days, 40 nights, without eating anything. Because scripture says, he arose and he did eat and drink, and then in that strength of that meat. Moses finished the journey in the strength of that meat. What is that meat? God told Moses, my presence will go before thee. Enough, Lord, I will run. 40 years I will run. 40 years Moses walked. He finished everything. Because of what? That meat. God said, my presence will go before thee. The word is spoken. Receive the word. Eat it. Drink my spirit on the top of the mountain. 6 days I will soak you in the washing machine. I will wash you. Don't worry. The cloud will clean you. Will take care of you. Just eat me, drink me, and you will run 40 years, not just 40 days. And now Elijah, who was able to run one day to wilderness journey, now he ran 40 days, 40 nights, in that strength. Jesus, he was tempted in the wilderness when he was fasting, how many days? 40 days, 40 nights, correct? Wilderness of Israel, 40 years. 40 years, which means every year high priest must enter into the holiest, for the Lord to decide, year 2, granted. Year 3, granted. But when Aaron died, the 40 years wilderness also over. Why? Aaron died in the 40th year. Moses died in the 40th year. Correct? They all died in the same year. Miriam died same year. All three siblings, they died for who? For the redemption of God's children. They sacrificed their lives from one single household. Which household are you from? The household of Abraham or the household of a grandfather? What is the representation of Moses' family? All three siblings, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, died before the Israel entered the promised land. They all sacrificed their lives. They are from the same family, same father, spiritually speaking. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. What is your house? The household of Abraham. What is my house? Household of Abraham on this earth, but household of the Father in heaven. So now Elijah ran. Elijah put himself, loathed himself, he hurt himself. It all started because of the four-step process. So he left his servant, he became alone, went for himself, requested himself, and compared himself. I am not better, is a voice of the devil. Remember this. I am not better is a voice of the devil. The Lord would never, ever speak in such a way. His only concern is for us to remember we are sinful, we are weak, we are nothing. That is for true repentance. But once you have true repentance, once you have His name, all left is assurance. I am weak. So what? Don't stop it there. But thou art strong. I am a sinner. So what? His blood can wash me. Do not complete your proclamation. Amen? It has to be a full, complete sentence. The enemy wants to put a full stop when you speak. Don't let anyone to put a full stop. Finish the sentence. Now, err from faith, pierce themselves through many sorrows. The title of last Sunday's sermon. And now we have seen the four-step process to be erred from faith. Correct? Four-step process. What the scripture says, what will happen to the tabernacle? Now, Jezebel is trying to destroy the tabernacle. I'm spiritually speaking, please follow me. I'm considering Elijah as a tabernacle because the Lord needs the vessel to speak. If there is no Elijah, God cannot speak. You know how serious it is? Before Samuel, the Bible said there was no testimony in the land. The word of the Lord was so rare. Why? No prophet for God to speak. So the Lord allowed Hannah to go through pain so that with such pain and burden she can pray, I need a son, but I'll give him back to you. And Samuel was born with that pain and desire. The Lord used him mightily. Amen? He used him mightily. So, God needs Elijah and the tabernacle is challenged by Jezebel. Correct? Now, the Lord made sure that the tabernacle remains for him to continue to speak and do everything. Then Elisha became the room for who? In thy room, into thy chamber, Lord. Speak to me. close the door and I will speak to you. Amen. So God made Elisha at his room for him to dwell, to speak the words of life. So we studied Naaman, Gehazi. We stop it there because we'll come back again. Now let's remember the self-reflection of Elijah and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at how this another prophet in the New Testament with the New Covenant, he speak. Chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Not may not, dare not. I love the way Apostle Paul speaks. You know? Ruthless apostle, you know, like Moses. No mercy. He speaks as it is, as plain as it can be. If the Lord wants him to feed bitter, he will feed bitter. No sugar added. Dare not make ourselves the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Because comparison was never part of the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Because greatness of God cannot be measured, then from to whom you will compare? He wants us to conform to the image. Amen? Conform is allowed. Compare, not allowed. And he says, they measuring themselves by themselves. What Elijah did? He went himself. He requested himself. He told himself. He compared himself. And Apostle Paul says, please don't follow my senior. But his senior was used even mightily than him. But what he's telling us is, if the flesh can overpower such a mighty prophet of the generation, who are we? Who are we? So, comparing themselves, measuring themselves are not wise. Book of Proverbs talks about wisdom. Please, meditate. The first few chapters, fully focusing on the wisdom. It's not about, I learned from a mistake. That is not wisdom, it is experience. But what is wisdom is, my Jesus said this, I should say this. My Jesus did this, I should do this. Not by thinking and doing, but rather it must be intuitive. Now, you don't even know we are doing it, but you are doing it. You see, if I throw a simple piece of pencil or some debris, you know, towards your eye, your eyelid will close. But do you know it's an involuntary muscle? It doesn't listen to your brain. It is automatic, you know, it is independent. Who taught you? Because there is no time, you know, for me. Oh, the pencil is coming to me. I have intellect. I will process it. It's coming at 10 kilometers per speed. Then I will give a command for, you know, no such time. Your heart beats, doesn't listen to your brain. Your brain says, no, I'm so smart. The heart will say, I just have to beat. Let me do my work. So there are muscles in your body which does not listen to you if you think you can control your life. Your heart doesn't listen to you. Your eyelid doesn't listen to you, and you think you're stronger? I don't even know what is the beats per minute of my heart now. I'm so weak. Barely I can hold my breath for one minute. Like what Elijah did. With his strength, he ran one day. Yoo-hoo, you can hold your breath for 1 minute. That's it, or else we'll die. So the Lord says it has to be spontaneous. Do not premeditate what you speak when you are cornered. What does it mean? Do not premeditate how you should behave when you are cornered. Your life is a living sacrifice. The more we put ourselves in the cloud of God's second of glory, something is happening to you. It becomes so natural. You speak like Him. You think like Him. You do like Him because you are eating the word, not digesting it. And in that strength, right, you will complete your life. Amen? Elijah, he finished 40 days of running, like a race. The Lord says, eat my word and you will finish the race. So now, in 2 Corinthians, it says it's not wise because the wisdom of the Lord is what? The knowledge of the holy is understanding and wisdom to us. Amen? So what is the knowledge of the holy? Knowing Jesus Christ. What is knowing Jesus Christ? Adam knew Eve, Abel was born. Jesus knew his bride, the fruit of the Spirit was born. Correct? If I don't know the Lord intimate in my life, I don't know what is joy, I don't know what is peace, I don't know what is faithfulness, I don't know what is long-suffering, No, contentment, meekness, temperance, those are the spiritual fruit of my life. If I don't know Christ, I cannot give birth from my mouth, from my heart, from my mind. Correct? Then I can say, knowing Jesus is wisdom. How? The last Adam knew me in spirit, he quickened me, and I'm giving birth to the fruit of spirit. Not the birth of a child, but birth of words of life. Now the next verse it says, but we will not boast of these things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule. What was inside the Ark of the Covenant? The Aaron's rod budded. Amen? That's very important, right? And the Lord says, you bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So is it a requirement? The Lord says, of course, yes. It's a requirement. Rule which God has distributed to us. What is distribution, my brethren? The Lord has 50 stones to carry and he give everyone one each. Okay, carry together. You will reach the place faster. And we say, Lord, I'm a gym goer for the last 20 years. Just, you know, put on my shoulder. I can carry 50 stones, piece of cake. Of course you will carry. Then over time, our shoulder will become fractured with all the ligament injury. Then we can't even carry one more stone forever. Distribution is what Joseph did. Stored the food, he distributed. Jesus took the burden, he distributed. And God told Elijah, why are you doing this alone? 7,000 standing for me, go and find them. And Elijah would say, come on Lord, not fair. I'm a prophet, you didn't tell me. And the Lord would say, you went by yourself, you requested by yourself, you ate by yourself, you compared by yourself, and now you're asking me why you didn't tell me. The Lord has given us only one power, my brethren. Deny yourself, which is know yourself, correct? Everything else submit to Him. Understanding comes from Him. Urim Tumim comes from Him. Decision comes from Him. Leading comes from Him. All the goodness comes from Him. Amen? Now He says, we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. Know thyself, as thou we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased. We must decrease, he must increase, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. So when Elijah thought he is one, the Lord enlarged his vision and said, 7,000 standing for me. Oh. When the servant of Elisha was asking, Master, how we are going to survive the battle? Look at the king, he's sending so much enemies. We are surrounded. Let's run for shelter. And Elisha says, wait a minute. I saw one chariot of fire came with horses and took my master. I called him, Father, chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. Amen? He said that, right? Then Elisha thinks, if God would do this, why can't he protect me? And he opened the eyes of the young man. And what he saw? The mountain was surrounded, not by anything. Chariots, plural. Horses, plural. Of fire, all plural, not one. Then who are the people in those chariots? Who sent those chariots of fire? So the Lord sent the chariot of fire to take people or also to protect people. That vision, we should remember, Elisha, who saw one chariot of fire, took the mantle to serve the Lord. He also saw chariots of fire covering the mountain for him, for one person. The Lord protected his prophet from the armies of enemy. Not even fighting with them. They all made some noises and the enemies were confounded. Oh, we are all surrounded by so many. They were confounded, scared, and they ran away. So Elijah was scared by Jezebel's noise. He ran away. And Elisha is watching mountain full of chariots and fire, horses of fire. And they're making some noises of, you know, big army is coming. And the enemies, they ran away. And the Lord was able to do this even in the time of Elijah. But Elisha saw that, right? But they are together as one. What is Elijah? Yahweh is my God. What is Elisha? Yahweh is my salvation. What is Yeshua? Yahweh is my salvation. Amen? Now, verse 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, do not limit yourself Because the word of God can travel across. Amen. The Lord can do anything by anyone, anything through anyone, because he is limitless. And not to boast in another man's lines of things made ready to our hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray that we all receive this word in our heart. Imagine the calling of this apostolic ministry when Bragan was alive for 40 years plus. God called Richard Gann, the prophet, apostle, for him to serve him. And God filled him in his spirit for him to write all the books, to lead the ministries, to guide the servants of God. That is God's personal calling to his personal servant. And by God's mercy, we were allowed to be part of that shelter to learn from the teacher. Correct? What if we think, if I was not in the church, I don't know how come Bragan, no Book of Logos, I have to be there. If I don't support, how come we can finish? Who are we? How much tithing we can give for Apostle Paul to write Book of Ephesians? Tell me. What is the worth of Book of Ephesians? How much you will pay for Book of Galatians? How much you will pay for Book of Romans? My brethren, the Lord allowed us to find a lifeline by doing some service in the tabernacle. We found life. We found mercy to be under the shelter, to hide in the wings. We are no one to help the prophets of God. God is their help. Who are we? Servants. The richest man in the social media platform, if they allocate 0.001% to throw to the church, it will surpass the 40 years of tithing of our church. Just like that. Correct? Anyone deny? So, there is acceptable sacrifice, acceptable offering, acceptable year, and there is non-acceptable sacrifice, non-acceptable offering, and non-acceptable year. Because the Lord do not need our help. He wants us to understand God of Jacob is my help. He is in me, I serve. For us, we serve. You serve him, you serve her, you serve him, you serve her. We all serve one another. And the Lord says, oh, good. Servanthood, the beauty of the apostolic ministry. Amen? So, God is teaching a lesson. Do not take your glory from someone's achievement. Because that is between him and the one who created him. The Bible says, every man must carry his burden. Every man must carry his cross. And every man must have his own experience. And must let the Savior to know him in spirit and for him to give birth. What? The fruit of the spirit. Until I give birth to the child. I am not Hannah. Who is Hannah? A woman who represents the womb. Like the earth which gave birth to Adam. From dust he came. Dust he shall return. Amen? And the Lord wanted all of us. He told us, I kept you in my mind. I speak, you came out. Now you do the works of me. You can do it. And the enemy says, no, don't do it. Don't listen to him. You are not tabernacle. Not yet. Not yet. You are not ready. Not yet. Not yet. Voice of the devil. Imagine the one who was crucified next to Jesus. And he wants to say something to the Lord. I believe thou, the Son of God. He wants to say, but he thinks, oh, I'm a sinner. I'm going to die anyway. Who am I to speak to him? I don't know Book of Genesis. I don't know doctrine. I don't know all these no doctrines that we all know. How can I tell him? He didn't think twice. He said, I believe thou art Son of God. And the Lord says, you spoke. You opened your mouth. Out of the mouth you made the confession. Let's go home. Imagine, he looked at, he said, he's just trying to speak some sign language. The Lord says, oh, are you dumb? You want me to heal you? Sorry, no time. The Lord wants the voices to be heard. Because it's called the spoken voice. Amen. Spoken word. Voice from heaven. Voice from heaven. Amen. The Lord wants us to utter. Now, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The master came and looked at the faithful servants and said, how much I gave you? 4 talents. I made some profit. 5 talents. I made some profit. And the Lord says, well done, my faithful servant. I am pleased in thee. That is called commendation. From whom? The gardener. The one who owns the house. The one who created you. The one who formed you, redeemed you. Amen? Amen. That crown of glory is our commendation, is our reward. Until we receive it, my brethren, whatever that we may think, it's vanity. Crown of glory is real. My God is real. Appreciation of men, recognition of women, everything is not real. But we serve one another, encourage one another. What is the meaning of encouragement? Encouragement is life. Servants of Naaman, they speak to him, my master, my father. He said something good. You know, you can do it. You can do it. I know you can do it. Encouragement. Encouragement that is seen as the fruit of it. What is the fruit of my word will decide whether it was advice or encouragement. My brethren, don't fall into the trap of advice. Because the world that we live in, if you are just simply sitting in the bus stop for 30 minutes, people will come and give you advice. Because advice is available freely throughout the world. No, it has become like an everlasting presence in this world now. If you are a bit careless, people will come and give you advice. No, you can do this. Oh, you can. But the Bible says encourage. What is encourage? And the Lord told Joshua, be courageous. That is encouragement. Amen? And the Lord says you can warn someone only when they turn away from the way of righteousness to the way of wickedness. So we have to be very careful. Am I going to warn my brother or sister? Is it because of the way of wickedness? If it is not the way of wickedness, we keep silence and we do our work and we pray and we move on. You know why? It's a trap. It's a trap when we do something slightly above scripture. When you do something that is slightly below scripture. It's a trap. It's a trap. And that tabernacle, I am a tabernacle, you are a tabernacle, we are all the tabernacle. And the Lord, the King of Kings, is asking us, repair ye not the tabernacle? Question mark. And where it was uttered and why it was uttered. Now, let's read one verse in 2 Corinthians that I want to read before we go to 2 Kings. So now, let's go to three chapters before. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 9. Now I rejoice that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The only sorrow that is accepted in God's sight. As I said last Sunday, godly burden, godly sorrow. What is it? Worketh life. Worketh toward righteousness. Amen. And it says, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner. So there is a godly manner of sorry. You can't escape from that also. No one can escape from true repentance and enter into the gates. None. Repentance is our job. Forgiveness is his job. But repentance comes from within. Godly manner that ye might receive damage by us nothing. I said, tabernacle is damaged. How should I repair? Book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 to 4 says, I will proclaim the year of the Lord. Amen. And I will say freedom to the captives. I said 4, right? Remember this, you know, in all of your working, you say best regards when you finish your email, right? From now on, whenever I see best regards, this will come to you. B, bind up, build. R, raise, repair. B-R, right? Easy to remember. Book of Isaiah 61. The Lord has given us 4 tasks. Bind up the wounds, build the ways, raise the tabernacle, raise the house, and repair the old ways. Amen? B-B-R-R. Do not forget. Whenever you are weary, tell yourself, the Lord called me to bind up the wounds, to build the ways, raise, repair. Bind, build, raise, repair. Bind, build, raise, repair. You should keep on running in your mind. We have a job to do. Bind, build, raise, repair. Now the Lord is focusing on repair the tabernacle. Now what Apostle Paul says, you might receive damage by us in nothing. We are not going to damage you for no reason. When Apostle Peter says, oh, you murderers, you kill the Prince of Life. Damage, right? Oh, pricked in my heart. But that damage was healed later by how? Baptism. Now that damage worketh to salvation. So Apostle Peter made them to feel sorry to what? Repentance. And repentance to what? salvation, godly sorrow. Discouragement is not godly sorrow. Now, he says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Verse 10. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So Elijah was walking to death. Hello? I am going myself, thinking myself, deciding myself, requesting myself, comparing myself. I am going to die myself. And the Lord says, come on. You are my prophet. No? I am not letting you do this. He stopped him. The angel of the Lord intervened. But when Judas had the same thought, there was no one to intervene. Why? Jesus loved him truly. Jesus hugged him and kissed him. Jesus did everything for him. He gave everything for him. He gave all the opportunity for him. The moment he realized that he killed the prince of life who loved him truly, he threw the 33rd shekel and he fell, you know, and died. Correct? Saul fell to the sword by himself and died. Correct? Erred from faith, pierced by many sorrows. Correct? But the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh to repentance and salvation, but worldly sorrow worketh to death. If Saul thought, my friend David is there, my God Almighty is there, the Lord will forgive me. If he had thought, that sword would have become a spiritual double-edged sword, fallen to fall spiritually for repentant, then he would have risen up, you know, as a king himself. But he didn't believe that there's a way out, correct? Judas didn't believe that there's a way out. When I was reading Book of Acts, no, I really felt so emotional. The Bible says, Judas turned aside from the apostleship that was reserved for him. He was supposed to be an apostle even in the Book of Acts chapter 1. My brethren, he did not wait to see the resurrected Jesus. Do you know? Peter waited. He denied Christ thrice. But he waited, held his peace, because Jesus told him, I have prayed for thee. He waited, and he saw Jesus resurrected. But Judas did not wait. Aaron held peace. Peter held peace. Judas did not hold peace. Fell and died. Prophet Eli fell and died. Could not hold peace. So is it easy for us to hold peace? You have so much loudness in your family, right? Children, parents, mothers, fathers, husbands, grandparents. Let's come back to the reality. Is there anyone here who can live forever? With all your wealth, with all your health, with all your strength, with all your intellect? If the Lord takes the person whom you love the most now, how would you behave? It's the strength of your faith. If the Lord surprised you by doing something that you didn't see this coming, how your love to God is going to be is your faith. You think the Lord won't do this, what he did to Abraham. It's the same God we serve. And he won't do it for no reason. He do everything for righteous reason. But it's self-reflection for us. If the Lord can take the child of David, who are we? And David prayed steadfast until he heard the child died. He did not give up. Do you think he was thinking, let me pray. Maybe it will work out. It's a hit or miss, right? Give or take. No, he believed, I will pray. I will tear my clothes, put on sackcloth. I will pray. The Lord gave him Solomon. David won't say, the Lord take my child. David would say, the Lord gave me Solomon. Because those 7 days of prayers of a righteous man would never go in vain. Never. He prayed for a child, he got a child. Abel was taken, Seth was given. The Lord replaced, he restores. Restore of paths. So the Lord wants us to reflect our tabernacle upon which my house is built. On the rock or on the muddy seashore. So, here, we talk about damage. And verse 11 says, for behold this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea. What clearing of yourselves, yea. What indignation, yea. What fear, yea. What vehement desire, yea. What zeal, yea. What revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. 40 years of wilderness, 40 years of tuition for restitution. Amen? No one can escape from God's presence without restitution. Imagine I landed in Singapore in 2010. So it's been 15 years since I'm here by God's grace. If I did not share my mistakes with you all in the past, then what is the profit of it? Nothing. I should tell why I left my previous fellowship, my previous ministry. What is the reason? What the Lord did to me? What I learned? What the mistake did? It all has to be part of my testimony. Why? The restitution is in there. A testimony without restitution is not a testimony. But can I come and share all my little mistakes here? That's a waste of time. The Bible says, do not cover your altar with weeping. No, but cover the altar with repentance. Correct? So, whatever worketh the fruit of the Spirit, we testify. Restitution. Why? My brethren, why the Lord allowed us to read all the mistakes of David, Elijah? They are all mighty servants of God. Do you think the Lord is putting them into shame? No. The Lord wants us to learn from the mistakes. Let's say we are this group, group 1, group 2, group 3, we are all going for adventure trek in some forest, in some fiery forest, very dangerous forest. All of us, we have some wood and wildfire in our hand. We are going as one group, but we don't know where to go. Then we decide, let's split into three groups. Let's go and find if there is any way out for water or food. And we will commune again at some common point, the same place. So we three split, we go and search for, food, water. And suddenly one group was attacked by two female bears, some beast, on some direction. And we got some injury. Then we put on our clothing to cover the injury. And we come back to the common meeting point. And how the Lord delivered us from that bear, nobody knows. How the Lord delivered your life from that beast, nobody knows. And we come back to the camp and we say nothing, because that is the Lord's work in my life. The Lord delivered me. The Lord healed me. It is between me and the Lord. Why should I share? Correct? And we keep silence. And the second group, they also go in the same path and they are killed by the same two female bears. If the Lord come and ask us, why you did not share, what would be my answer in the Word of God? That is Scripture. There was nothing hidden that was beneficial to God's children. Whatever is not beneficial to God's children was hidden. Do you understand? Because if a brother comes and tells me, I'm going through some personal problem, it's a secret that I must carry to my grave, correct? But if a brother comes and tells me and curse the church, who am I to keep the secret? Because I am not the owner of the church. And there is one. His name is Jesus Christ. Correct? So the Lord knows there is something that you can keep and something you can't keep. Correct? There is something you can forget and forgive, and there is something that we do restitution and release ourselves. And what is the releasing ourselves? Restoration of a tabernacle. Restitution is a repair of your tabernacle. Because someone will be saved because of my restitution. Every servant of God, they allowed this to be written, right? Imagine Moses writing, I strike the rock twice. Oh, nobody sees this. Erase it. No. I struck the rock only once, but the Lord was very angry. Nobody knows, right? But Spirit of God is leading people to write everything in truth. Correct? So now you see here how beautiful it is. Therefore, verse 12, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this cause that had done the wrong, nor for this cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. So the Lord says, it is the care, affection, accountability, sense of belonging to one another. My sister, don't go this side. I just got injured by a viper. Please don't go there. I made a mistake. I fell into a trap. Don't fall in the same trap. That sister life is saved because of you. Amen? What if I simply cover my snake bite and say, where are you going? Okay. Lord, I pray that you don't let her go. Lord, I pray that you speak to her. And the Lord says, I sent you to speak to her. I sent you so that you can share what you had and so she won't go. Amen? Edification, encouragement. This is it. Edification, encouragement. This is it. The servants of God are encouraging us. And it says, nor for this cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God. So God is watching, might appear unto you. Therefore we, were comforted in your comfort, and he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. What is that? I will give the comforter if I can endure some more. I can give the comfort to every one of them. And they will say, I'm a sinner. I am baptized in Jesus' name. They will all confess. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the cross and there was gloomy, dark background. And he was in flesh, you know, going through all the pain. And the Lord, you know, come back to his spiritual senses. And he saw the cross clearly behind the cross. He see every one of you. He saw every one of us accepting him as a savior. He saw every one of us singing songs and dancing. He saw every one of us praying together. He saw every one of us crying and sharing our burden together. And he saw that, wow, let's do it. And he endured the cross for the salvation of us. And imagine if he saw the countless stars that Abraham saw, which Abraham could not count, but the one who saw, he could count every one of them. You know why? This David will do census. He will calculate. Because only then he will know, one sheep is missing, man. Let's go and find it. Because he knows not even one single seed will drop to the ground. He catch his bride. Amen? Not one drop. Because you know why? He measures and he counts every single seed of him. So now, therefore, you are comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy be for the joy for Titus, and because of his spirit was refreshed by you all. Edification, encouragement. The tabernacle must be refreshed. Amen? A house must go through a retrofit. Restoration, rebuilding, revival comes. Only then, after we complete all of this. Amen? After we complete all of this, what is left? Nothing but revival. So ye in the third year, and you will reap the Lord's promise. We are walking together. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made for before Titus, has found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. What? With fear and trembling for God, they receive God's children. Amen? Serving one another. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. So Paul gives them a certification. I, the Paul, who was called to suffer and die, I certify that I rejoice in you. It is not him speaking. Amen? The Lord is speaking through his servants. Paul is writing with the life of him. Now, let's remember, God says, I will not dwell in the tabernacle made by the hands of men. Do you agree? But he made his presence to be there in what he built with his hands. Who created you? Him. Who formed you? Him. Who redeemed you? Him. Who made you? Him. Then the Lord would say, I cannot trust anything else, but I can trust my creation, so I'm dwelling in you. Why? The one who created you is a true and faithful witness. He himself. So, with this desire, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 12. In Kings chapter 12, I will be going back and forth so that we follow the flow of the sweet river. 2 Kings chapter 12 talks about the beginning of the reign of King Joash. Okay? And now we are going to bring the character that I have been waiting to talk about for the last 2 months. The Lord made me to wait. Jehoiada. What a beautiful, powerful role that he played. A high priest. Who is he? He points all the way back to Aaron. Amen? Aaron, son Eleazar, who called to carry the garment. Abraham sent a servant to find daughter-in-law for him. What's his name? Eleazar? Am I correct, brother? Wow, Eleazar. So one Eleazar was sent to find the bride. And one Eleazar was sent to carry the high priestly services. For who? For the bride. For all of us.
to intercede, to offer sacrifices, to bear the iniquities, to keep the ball rolling. Amen? From who? From the Lord Himself. Because we all should see another year. The Lord can make all of us to see your life is a vapor. He don't need 1 year to destroy us. He needs one single second. You say, oh my dear earth, you have been rotating all these aeons of time. Take a rest. Boom, we are gone. Can't imagine if the earth stops for a single fraction of a second. We will be into pieces. The gravity will consume us. But the Lord said, my grace will keep you alive. So the Lord decided you will see another day. And the Lord told the people of Israel, you will see another year. 40 years you will see. Why? The high priest will do the job. That is how important it is. So book of Hebrews chapter 9, that is how we start the sermon today. Right? The high priest, he himself entered into the holiest. For what? For the errors of the people. Correct? So now, before we read Joash, I want to show the 7 days which we are called to meditate from last Sunday. 7 days we will simplify because we also have to remember there are children, there are new believers, there are non-believers whom also called to receive the word of God. Amen? So everything that we speak has to be a blessing to those who receive. When God sent Abraham, when God sent Aaron, when God sent David, when God sent Daniel, you could see the gardener. Imagine the Lord has 6 hectares of vineyard. And he goes by 1 hectare at a time. 1,000 years. First 1,000 years, he do some things. Second 1,000 years, he plants something. And he take the reward. And he take the seeds. 3,000 years, he plants something. Reap the harvest. Take the seed. 4,000 years, he plants the seeds. He reap the reward. He goes on. And sixth day, he will decide, everything is over. I'm going to stop everything. Correct? Only then the seventh day comes. Rest. So let's start from the 7 days. This is not going to be the same for every single sermon series. But by the grace of God, I will change the contents inside. Depends on the sermon's topic. So that we can remember, if the series is on garment, you will see the words that are associated to the word garment. To the sermon title. Okay? So now, I want all our eyes to focus on the third day. Third day. In the third day, what do we see? We see a multitude of Israel becomes a nation, but they were just merely 70 plus when Joseph called them to dwell in Goshen, land of Egypt. Correct? Please focus only on third day. And the Lord called Moses to lead Israel. After he died, the Lord called Joshua to lead Israel. So I put them together, you know, to show passing the garment of service. Amen? Because my desire is to see garment of service in this light, in the 6 days of work. Then Aaron the high priest was called. But before that, there were 10 plagues to deliver the people. After that, there were 10 commandments to guide the people. Correct? 10 plagues for deliverance to hit the enemy. 10 commandments to hit the heart of people. Both are same. The Lord would hit the camps of enemy and he would hit the heart of you. 10 commandments for the people to be pricked and to follow the commandments, right? And the high priest is placed. Why? When there is law, there is disorder. Correct? When there is a commandment, there is rebellion. When there is a need for obedience, there is sin and iniquity. Correct? The Lord knows. So he called Aaron to be prepared with all the fire jacket, all the safety equipment, helmet, everything, so that he can face the Lord's fire and go in and come out, right? Personal protective equipment, PPE. I think Brother Darren knows better than any of us here. So Aaron, he teaches son Eleazar, my son, carry the same garment, don't duplicate it. It is not available for sale in any shop, no branches. They have only one branch. And the branch came from the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Aaron says, carry the same garment. And Eleazar would say, Father, it's very old. You know, I'm a 2K kid. I'm very young. I need something fashion, more modern. And the Bible says, their garment waxed not. No, they never become old. Whatever the Lord allowed them to prepare, it stayed as beautiful as it could be. Even in the wilderness. Correct? Bible said that. Now, Eleazar continued to son. And Jehoiada is in the bracket. Sons, correct? Because it was given to priest after priest after priest. By God's grace, we covered Uzziah. Remember? Uzziah was challenged by Azariah. He's the high priest. And ironically, the name of Uzziah is also Azariah. Correct? Why? The Lord wants us to learn, teach us. Uzziah may think I'm a king, but I also want to be like Azariah. Because my name is also Azariah, you see. If I fire him, it is good for the people taxes. They can save money. They don't have to pay salary to Azariah. I am the king. You can call me King Uzziah. Then when I go to tabernacle, you can call me High Priest Azariah. Case closed. Simple. And High Priest Azariah came and he looked at the king and the leprosy broke forth and the king was thrown out. Correct? And what 2 Corinthians said, what we learned from Apostle Paul. Now you see here, Samuel and Saul, very beautiful pair of God's servants. Because Saul was so beautiful, he served the Lord, did everything from the tribe of Benjamin, but the Lord allowed him to be a spectacle. Doesn't mean that he's an evil man. Because remember, the Bible says the Lord allowed the distressing spirit to be upon Saul, correct? David did even worse mistakes than Saul. But if there is no fall of Saul, there is no rise of David. So the Lord used all of them for his glory. Just because I become a vessel of dishonor doesn't mean that I'm not a child of God. Because there is one who writes the song. He is author. He knows which song he will sing. No one knows. So now here we are called to learn, correct? Samuel, Saul fell, David arise, David fell, Solomon arise, correct? So the crown was being passed to, garments was being passed to, everything is being given. Then Elijah came, he had no government. He would say, Elisha, oh my servant, no property, no land, no oxen, at least you had the yoke of 12 oxen. What is yoke of 12 oxen? It's a pair, right? 24 oxen, correct? Have you seen agricultural land? So they will actually make a yoke of 2 oxen together and they will row, you know, they will actually prepare the land for, you know, before they sow the seed. I repeat, they prepare the land, you know, they will, you know, rekindle, you know, and stir up all the land for the water to sink in before they throw the seed, okay? 12 went what? Each yoke had 2 pairs. How many elders did we read in the book of Revelation? 24, correct? 12 apostles, 12 children of Israel, correct? 12. So, it's not any, there is no random, you know, in God's word. There is no random. So, he was in the 12 when the Lord called Elisha, come. Now, that Elisha, he took mantle from Elisha, correct? He left the 12 yokes of oxen, he served the people, then he received the mantle. Solomon received the crown. Eleazar received the garment. So, we saw the picture, you know, a few Sundays ago. Now, there comes Azariah and Jehoiada. So, Azariah is the priest who challenged Uzziah and threw him out. You may think, but it's a small story. Oh, Uzziah, Azariah, barely last one chapter. Uzziah ruled 52 years. Do you hear me? 52 years he ruled. Small chapter, 40 years of wilderness. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Numbers. Oh, it's so boring. Uzziah ruled 52 years. What we did, what he did, why the Lord allowed him. And at the end of 52 years, the Lord told him, you will die as a leper. What? He is not cursing or punishing anyone. He is showing us, if we glory in the Lord. Uzziah gloried in himself. That was leprosy. Correct? Now, Jehoiada, remember the name. All others we will focus next time. Now you please focus a small black color background at the right bottom. 6 days cover the Mount Sinai, which is the glory of the Lord. On the 7th day, Moses was called out. Amen? 6 branches was in the golden lampstand. 3 to the right, 3 to the left. Amen? 6 branches. 6 cities of refuge was given to the people after they crossed the river of Jordan. for them to, you know, find shelter and, you know, before the judgment came. And 6 measures of barley, you know, Boaz told Ruth to get so that she will not go empty. What? Don't come empty. Fill with 6 measures of barley and 6 water pots of stone. It was empty. And the Lord says, don't keep it empty. I will fill it with water. For what? To serve in the feast. What is the feast? Marriage. Are we ready for the marriage? 6 days of God's creation. At the end, He rested. Amen? And which day Adam was created? 6th day. So, let's just remember this. And the bottom, 4,000 years of Old Testament, approximately. 2,000 years of New Testament, approximately. 1,000 years of millennium, so precisely, because the Lord will come and rule. And we will enter the 7th day. We will finish 7th day and we will enter into Him. That is our rest. Amen? Day 1, day 2, day 4, day 5, let's don't focus. Focus on day 3. Now please go to the Jehoiada family tree with a black background with yellow color text. When King Saul rent the garment of Prophet Samuel, Samuel turned, he said, what you did? Your kingdom will be divided into 2. The Lord said that, right? Solomon came, David came, they tried to put these things together, but again it was torn into 2. So kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah. So from the family line of Solomon, because Solomon is referring to Judah, referring to David. And Jesus Christ is referring to Himself as the Lion of Judah. Amen? So the green one is the family line of what? Jesus Christ. In this earth, but everything is created for Him. That's the second story. But in this earth, He must claim His kingdom through David, correct? Because God is righteous. When the Lord come and say, my kingdom is established, He will claim Jerusalem in the righteous way. He will say, I'm a son of David. Go and check my record. And that record kept by God, correct? He preserved the family line. And that is where Jehoiada comes. You may think, it's a small prophet. Let's say this is family line of the Lord. And Athaliah comes, want to cut the rope. Okay? And Jehoiada destroy her before she cut the rope. Is it important? It is this much important. Correct? Because it carries the entire promise of God. That is how important the high priests are. If Azariah did not throw Uzziah away from the throne, something could have happened. Because those kings are the stumbling block in the God's promises. The Lord removed stumbling blocks. He kept those who let the promise to flow. Correct? Now look at this green first. Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, the son, Athaliah. So Athaliah is who? The beautiful, evil daughter of Jezebel. So, what is Athaliah represents? Fruit of the spirit of Jezebel. What the spirit of Jezebel will do? Will deceive her man, will allow him to die, and will deceive the king, will kill the king, and will go after the royal seed of king, and will kill the royal seed of king. Are you the royal seed? Are we all the royal seed? The Lord called all of us royal holy nation. Kings and priests unto the Lord. Amen? And that Athaliah will go after all the royals because she can smell who is royal, who is filthy. She knows why there's a good smell coming in. Must be from royalty. Kill him! All my demonic spirit, go and chase him after. Kill him! Destroy him! And that Athaliah killed all the royal seed. But Jehoiada, he hide Joash. He was 6 years old. How many years old? 6 years old. And we sing in the book of Psalms, Lord, you hide me in the cleft of the rock. 6,000 years. Don't you see the Lord is hiding all of us? We could have been destroyed just like that. But He hide all of us. The high priest, He hide all of us. And He is the husband of Jehosheba. She is the daughter of King Jehoram. But the Bible did not explain who is the mother of Jehosheba. Definitely Athaliah is not the mother. Because there is no link between them. But Athaliah had a daughter. Her name is her godson, Ahaziah. He is a king. Now, Joash, the son of Ahaziah, was kind of adopted or protected by Jehoiada and Jehosheba, but they are not the biological parents. Do you understand? A priest and his wife adopted a child or preserved the child because God's promise has to carry on. From who? From Athaliah, who was killing everyone. Very similar to what happened to Jesus when he was born, correct? Many children were killed. They were thrown against the rocks, correct? On the other side, the orange color line, which is Omri, Jezebel, Ahab, the king who went against Prophet Elijah, as we have been narrating last few weeks, because of the push from the wife, correct? And she was killed by Jehu. We go there later, but the red color marks are showing that they are expired. The Lord removed them. One way or other. But who removed Athaliah? And why? We will go there. So Ahaziah, Jehoram was removed. Athaliah, the daughter, married Jehoram. And the son, Ahaziah, Joash is something like a grandson, correct, to Athaliah. But she was killing her own family. For what? She had a beautiful name. Self-proclaimed queen. Wow, we can see this in this world today. Self-proclaimed queen. Now let's turn your Bibles to 2 Kings. And we focus from chapter 12 first, verse 1. Verse 1. Remember, we are in the third day. Now it is easy for you to remember. Third day, you remember Aaron, Eleazar, Jehoiada, all in the third day, okay? They are in the third day. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. He was just a small kid when Jehoiada appointed him as a king, because he had no choice. The royal blood must continue in those days, correct? 40 years he reigned, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, that's not it, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. You see the importance of the high priest who was guiding the king to do what is good in the sight of the Lord, correct? All good, but now the king is growing. Things are getting more complicated. Because when we are a child, we obey. When we go as an adult, we disobey. But the high places were not taken away, and people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. What is money, my brethren? What Gehazi wanted? What he think is precious to him. And what book of Timothy says? 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, money is the root of all evil. So what is money in those days? Whatever is needed for the people to offer sacrifice to the temple of the Lord, for the temple of the Lord to function as it is for the Lord. Amen? Because God does not need the help of the hands of men. He just needs the living sacrifice, our submission, correct? So now, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. Now let's meditate this very deeply. All the people, they bring in whatever they want to give it to the Lord, to the temple, in the temple. And the priests bring all the living sacrifices, all our efforts together in unity, to serve the Lord in reverence and honor without any hypocrisy, any partiality, all gelled in as one body of Christ. For what? To make sure there are no breach around. If we are all the sheep, and we think this wall is closed with this big curtain, but behind there was no door, and there are two female bears waiting outside, and he enters the room and divorces people, and what would be the first question? How come there was a breach, right? Who allowed the breach to be there? Which means there is no coordination, no communication, correct? So, let there be no breaches in the house of the Lord. Because Ark of Noah was shut by God. It was not supposed to be open. Now, he says the priest will repair the breaches. And wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Something is happening. Now Jehoash is not a small boy anymore, because his reign is mentioned as 23rd year of Jehoash. And then King, we can simply call him Josh, called Jehoiada the priest. He called the man in charge. Jehoiada, come here. I know you instructed me when I was young to do what is good in the sight of the Lord, but that's all past. No, now I'm a strong man. Listen to me now. I'm asking you as a question. What he's asking? He called Jehoiada, verse 7, the priest, and the other priest, he called all the priests and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? The title of today's sermon. Why? It's a question from the king. Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? It's a very personal question from the king to the priest, correct? Now, which house? Up to here it's okay. Which house? Which house? If you are the tabernacle, are you the house of the Lord? Yes. If we are all the tabernacle, is it the house of the Lord? Yes. And the Lord says, as a king of kings, to the priest, why you did not repair the breaches in the house? Why you did not repair the tabernacle? The temple. It's a question of self-reflection, self-examination for the Lord to repair the breach, because he is called the repairer of breaches. And who are the priests who do the work of him? He's asking a question, a beautiful question. Now therefore receive no money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the bits of the house. He gave a command. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. So, we will take this slowly, because we will also study this next week. But we will stop 2 Kings here. A king asked a question to the priest, why the house is not prepared? And he gave a follow-up command, correct? This is all happening in the third day. Now, please go back to chapter 11, one chapter before. Now, we need to understand who is being questioned here. No one should simply question Jehoiada. Why? He is the high priest. The Urim and Thummim is with whom? The high priest, not with the king. Correct? So, house. Please look at this. You are a man and you live in a house. You are a man, and the Lord dwells in your house. Correct? You are a man, you live in your house, and you are the house, and the Lord lives in you. So, Hebrew 9, the Lord clearly told us, I don't dwell in the house made by the hands of men. Then where the Lord dwells? Then where is the breach? Where the Lord dwells? Correct? What book of Isaiah says? Bind up, build, raise, repair. Start from within. Correct? Start from within. The light must shine within before it goes out. Now, just give me a few minutes, because we need to complete chapter 11 so that we can close properly. Now, focus on chapter 11. Now you know who is Athaliah. The fruit of Jezebel. The daughter who carries the legacy of the mother. Correct? Because what is the desire of the mother? Kill every prophet. What does it mean? If you see a tabernacle of God, kill them. Don't leave them. But the truth is, nobody can kill the tabernacle of God until the God who dwells in them. But when the glory of the Lord leaves the tabernacle, that tabernacle is a tomb. Correct? Nothing can be destroyed. So what the Jezebel will do will induce fear. To the point whereby we will run like Elijah. I will run by myself, decide by myself, request myself, compare myself, I'll go and hide in the cave. And the Lord says, hide in me. If the Lord did not intervene, Elijah would have killed himself, correct? Because he was keep on telling, kill me, kill me. But the Lord came and intervened and he saved him because he is merciful. He needs Elijah. He's a mighty prophet. And now Athaliah is going after who? The royal seed of God. Elijah is resting. We also know Elisha will also die in chapter 15. But now Athaliah is going after the kings to destroy the royal lineage. Why? She wanted to be the queen. She wanted to fulfill the dream of the mother. Solomon fulfilled the dream of the father, built the temple. And Athaliah fulfilled the dream of the mother, became a self-inflated queen. And what she did in verse 1, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose. Who arose? Elijah arose. He ran away. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal. The Bible says, resist the devil, it will flee. Amen? And she ran and he destroyed the royal seed. How evil. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. They hid him. Moses was hidden by the maid servants. Remember? Correct? Jesus was hidden by the parents, but many children were killed when he was born. Moses was born, many children were killed. Joash was born, all royal seed was killed. They hid him, and even him and his nurse, and in the bedchamber of from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. In the bedchamber of Athaliah. How smart they are. And he was with her hid in the house for the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. 6,000 years, my dear brethren, who is ruling the world? God's spirit? No. It's a principality and the wickedness and the spiritual wickedness from high places ruling the world. When the King of Kings comes, he will overthrow the table. Like what Jesus did when he came to the temple, New City Jerusalem. He overthrew table, right? Now 6 years, Athaliah ruled. 6 years she ruled. But it didn't last because there was an overthrowing happened. And how it happened? On the 7th year, amen? Remember the 7 days pattern? It is so accurate, it stays true throughout the scripture. Moses commanded the children of Israel, every 7 years you will announce the release. It's called the Lord's release. Deuteronomy 8:31. Please meditate on your time. Deuteronomy 8:31. Please meditate on your time. Every 7th year, that's the Lord's release. Now, 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds. He is not the king. The high priest is at work with the captains and the guard, and brought them into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord. Everything in the house of the Lord. What a high priest. Never outside the house. In the house of the Lord. Like how a brother said, inside the ship, inside the house, inside the shelter, because the Lord is there. And he shewed them the king's son. After he asked them to sign all the contract, all the agreement, then he shewed them the son. Because they don't want anyone to kill the son. And the Lord called all of us, do not break the covenant and betray my son. He said that, right? The firstborn. What we did? We betrayed him. Crucified him on the cross. That is what who we are. The high priest told them to sign a covenant before he showed them the son. And the Lord wants all of us to confess our sins. Receive his name before the Lord helps us to receive him. The son of man. The son of David. The prince of life. The prince of peace for us to live. Amen? Life was hid in Christ and was revealed to us by spirit. Joash was hid, you know, by the high priest. And the high priest revealed the son after those who are willing to live and die for the son. Correct? The king.
And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath day shall even be the keepers of the watch of the king's house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is dividing them into three groups. Like I shared a simple story. Three groups with wildfire in the hand. Send them to one side to guard the gates. Send one to another side to guard the gates. Send another to another side to guard the gates. But he gave one single command. Let's read the command. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sir, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the command? Keep. Are we the keepers of our brethren? I pray that you say amen. Keep. Watch, right? So that the house not broken. Your house, because you are a house, and the house where you are planted. Correct? You are the church, and the church where you are part of. The Lord says, keep watch. Look for any breach of division, breach of pain, breach of bondage, breach of anything disobedient, whatever that can come and devour the church. Shut the breach. Shut the door. Keep the unity. Spread the love. Spread life. Edify. Encourage. Keep up the friendship of Christ that is given to us. Look at the command of the high priest. So beautiful. He continues. And two parts of all of you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. For who? The king. So you do all of this for what? Long live the king. Amen. In those days they say, long live the king. Long live the king. Whether he say it or not, he lives forever. But he says, long live the king. And we do it for the king. We must decrease, he must increase. And we keep doing the work. And he shall compass the king round about. He says, king is there. Compass him as a roundabout. Zechariah 2 verse 5. And God who dwells in the midst of them, and there is a wall of fire round about them. Who is the wall of fire? If you catch the Holy Ghost wildfire, you will be put in the wall of the wall of fire. The Lord ignites the fire of Holy Ghost, and he takes you and he places you to shield the church, right? It is the duty of everyone. We are called the builders of the wall. Which wall? Made of stone, made of fire, made of iron. The Lord called all of us, catch up the wildfire, and he would make us to compass round about. Not to protect the king. That is how we read here. It is earthly protection. But the king protect us. And he called all of us to be the builders of the wall. Amen. And ye shall compass the king round about. Verse 8. Every man with his weapon. Every man must carry his burden. Not to steal someone's weapon. His weapon. Every man stood at the door of his door. Amen. His. And he that cometh within the rangers, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out, as he cometh in. Now we understand what happened to David and Aaron. You be with the king as he goeth out and cometh in. What Jesus do, you do. What the King of Kings do, you do. Where you go, he go. Where the word leads, you go. Not on our own, correct? We should never leave our servants alone. Because we are the servants of one another. The Lord says, hold your hands together. Do not leave one another. Amen? And now he says, and the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. Before Joash listened to him, all of them, they were listening to Jehoiada. Jehoiada was like a king. Literally, he was ruling, controlling. But he didn't take the charge. Why? He's a high priest. He did everything for the king, no matter how small he was. Correct? He gave it to him, Joash. Because Joash is the one who asked Jehoiada, why repair ye not the bridges of the house, right? It's a question. Now, verse 10. And to the captains over hundreds did priest give the king David's spears. Hallelujah. Who? The weapons of who? King David's spears. And his shields.
that were in the temple of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6. There is only one weaponry that you are called to embrace, the armor of God. And what is the name of Jesus? The Son of David. And we are called to embrace the shield, the spear of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, everything as a whole. We clothe ourselves in the temple of the Lord. Battle is outside. Not here, right? Battle is outside. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand. It repeats, you know why? The scripture says every man came with his weapons in his hand, but then they were given David's spears, David's shields. Now the Bible says every man, they stood and weapons in his hand round about the king, the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why the names of altar and temple is keep on repeated when the king is being protected? So this is where we stop today, and we will continue next week. But let's all remember, Book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11 says, the Lord tells all of us, I know the plans for you, not to harm you, but to give you life, but to encourage you, but to strengthen you, but to edify you, but to encourage you, but to make you, but to reform you. Amen? The Lord says, I know the plans for you, not to harm you. What He says? Do not harm yourself. Correct? The moment Elijah harmed himself, he forgot the power that he had. He could burn 50 here and there, but for a moment of madness, he thought he could be killed. Why? The four steps. Left his servant, went alone. He went by himself, requested himself, compared himself. That's it. He fell into the cave. The Lord had to bring him up. Amen? Repairing the tabernacle is the focus of the life of Jehoiada. And how he did that? He did everything keeping the king in the center of what he did. The king was at the center. In whatever he did, the king was at the center. Because Jehoiada has a task to keep the bloodline of Jesus. Amen? Everything is secondary to him. He wants to protect the line so that Joseph can come, Mary can come, and Jesus can come. He has a duty. Keep the blood. Why? The high priest has one job, the blood. Correct? High priest has to preserve the blood until the blood of Christ shed on Calvary. And we can go and read Book of Hebrews with understanding. Amen? May the Lord guide us as He continue to lead us. It's a question that we all leave church today with this. Am I repairing my tabernacle for the name of the Lord? Am I repairing my tabernacle for the King of Kings? Am I allowing the Spirit to repair me? Because if there is no repair, there is no healing. There is no revival. There is no joy. If we do this, the Lord says, keep watch of your house not to be broken. Amen? Make sure there is no breach. A breach will break. A fish tank, a small crack, if you are a bit careless, over time, it will actually explode, you know. With the pressure, it will explode and break into pieces. Small breach, break the entire tank. You are the house, and you also live in a house. We have a dual responsibility. Dual responsibility. Deny ourselves and serve the Lord in His house. The Lord will guide us as we continue next week. God bless you all. Shalom. Let's all raise as I close. Our Lord, our God, You taught Moses how to build a tabernacle. And You gave people, and You gave the people what are needed to build the tabernacle. You taught Noah how to build the ark. And You gave him all the tools, all the strength that he needed to finish the work. You taught David and Solomon how to prepare what is needed to build the temple. And You anointed all the servants with that beautiful craftsmanship, the workmanship, to complete the work. So beautiful, so mighty. But yet, whatever I said so far, all destroyed. The ark was done when the work was done. The tabernacle went missing when the work was done. And the temple was destroyed when the enemies took over. Lord, You were focusing on the people. You were working on the people. You were building the people. You were telling them to build by building them. You are telling them to construct by constructing them. Because, oh Lord, you are the builder and the mansions, and we are the mansions, and you dwell in us. Build us, Lord. Bind up us, oh Lord. Raise us, Lord, to the higher ground. Repair us, Lord, any breach, any wound, anything that is not good in thy sight. Lord, we ask for thy forgiveness, oh Lord. Heal us, Lord, our divine healer. Redeemer, oh, you redeem us, oh Lord. You redeem us, oh Lord, back to thy glory, oh Father in heaven. Lord, we pray and we surrender our life. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we are all in the temple because we are the temples, oh Lord. We are the church. We are the house. Oh Lord, we pray that you help us to learn from the high priest Jehoiada, and to learn from the enemies he faced, and to learn from Elijah and Elisha, and to learn from the challenges that they faced. It's the same that we are facing spiritually, oh Lord. And Lord, we pray that you help us to grow in our faith, in our love towards one another, holding our hands together, sharing our pain and burden with one another. Because, oh Lord, you rejoice in such a family, and that is your family, oh Lord. We ask for thy presence and spirit to fill us and guide us. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.